humble heart.
Amen. Thank you so much, Josh. And then the song, you can read, we are not left as orphans. He is with us in the midst of our troubles, in the midst of our trials. He promised that he will be with us to the end. Forever I will be with you. And thank you, Anita, for the scripture reading. And we are still in James chapter 1. And please turn your Bible to James chapter 1, verses 5 to 8. James chapter 1, verses 5 to 8. And you will find it on page 1196. James chapter 1. And as a veteran shepherd of souls, James knew that it is relatively easy to live as a Christian when things are calm and quiet. But it's a much more difficult prospect when storms of life hit with full force. And at such times, it's easy to get off course or shipwreck up for your faith. His readers were facing various trials, very difficult trials. And let me remind you that we cannot avoid trials. We said that during the past 2 weeks. But we can make the decision to respond to them with confidence in God's providence and a determination to glorify God in the midst of those trials. And James' readers were scattered in verse 1, and mostly due to persecution. They had suffered loss of their homes and possessions. Many were not able to escape persecution, even in the places to which they had fled. And James, he wanted them to know how to navigate through those trials so that they could not only endure those trials, but do so joyfully. So he gave them several elements to help them go through their trials. And first we have in verse 2, a joyful attitude, an understanding mind. Verse 3, knowing this, personal knowledge, and a submissive will in verse 4. And he says, it is necessary to submit to the refining process in verse 4. He said, let endurance have its perfect result. And James goes further to say, and remember, he's very practical, he's very pragmatic. And he said, when you are going through a trial and you're really doing your best to keep a joyful attitude, an understanding mind, and a submissive will, and then you are having difficulty really grasping what's happening. He said to them, now you need to ask God for wisdom. In other words, you might be saying to yourself, and you know, I want to have the right attitude, an understanding mind, and a submissive will, but I lack wisdom. I lack the power to remain joyful, to endure, and to mature through this. I'm struggling to keep my heart fixed on the cause for joy. I'm struggling to understand this, and I'm struggling to be permissive. I need some help. And what do I do? And James says, what you really need is God's wisdom. And we need wisdom for a trial. We need to understand it. And we need practical insight to face the issues of life. And you will not be able to maintain a joyful attitude, an understanding mind, a submissive will, unless God gives you more than just your human faculties to work with. And God's wisdom is the other element that we need to endure trials joyfully as to bring glory to God. So James tells us how to obtain wisdom from God. And this is what we'll study this morning. In verse 5, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God. In other words, if any of you fails to have wisdom, if any of you needs wisdom, you should ask God for it. And he's not suggesting that some have it together so well that they have no need for wisdom. But if you look at the conditional, the Greek conditional sentence implies that we all lack wisdom when we face difficult trials. But we won't always see our need of God's wisdom. Thus, to obtain wisdom to endure trials joyfully, first you need to see your need for wisdom. And if you don't realize that you need wisdom when you go through trials, you won't ask God for it. First, you need to recognize that you need wisdom when you go through trials. You need to recognize that you have a need for wisdom. And second, you need to know who is the provider of this true wisdom. Who is this God who has this true wisdom? And thirdly, you need to ask him in faith to meet your need. You see, first, you recognize that you have a need for wisdom. And second, you need to know who is the provider of this true wisdom. And thirdly, you ask him in faith to meet that need. So if you have the bulletin insert, you can follow up with me as we go through these verses. And first, to obtain wisdom to endure trials joyfully, so you need to recognize the need. And first, let's be clear on the terms that James uses here. First, let me say, and when we study the Bible, it's very crucial to study the text in its context, and also to understand that the words are used in Scripture. So in the context of James chapter 1, and wisdom, when James talks about wisdom, he refers to the wisdom that we need to endure trials with God's joy, so that we will be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. And James realizes that in a time of trials, God's people sometimes they do lack wisdom on how to endure those trials with joy. So thus he adds verses 5 and 8. And of course we can ask God for wisdom in any matter of in life that we face. But in this context here, and James focuses on asking God for wisdom that we need to endure trials joyfully. This is the context. The context is he wants us to ask God for wisdom when we go through trials. So enduring trials with joy goes against our natural inclination. So when trials hit, we're all prone to ask, why is this happening to me? Why me? But that it is usually the wrong question. And sometimes God graciously reveals to us the reason for our sufferings, but not always. Often the answer to why we suffer must wait until we are in heaven. But the important questions to ask when a trial hits are, how can I understand this trial from God's perspective? How can I navigate through this storm in such a way as to bring glory to God? How can this trial help me grow in maturity? And let me tell you, you are not going to find in human reasoning all the answers to those questions. and wisdom to James and to any Jewish reader and any Jew of that times was the understanding needed to live the life to the glory of God. And this is wisdom for James. And then wisdom was functioning in obedience to the will and to the word of God. I see the will of God and what God wants me to do for him and his in his word. And it began with fearing God and then moved to obeying God. And when we go through a trial, we need that wisdom. And Warren Wiersbe tells about the secretary of his who was going through difficult trials. She had had a stroke. Her husband had gone blind. And then he had to be taken to the hospital where, as far as we didn't know, he would die. Wiersbe saw this woman in church on Sunday and assured her that he was praying for her. She startled him by asking him, "What are you asking God to do?" He replied, "I'm asking God to help you and strengthen you." "I appreciate that," she said, "but pray for one more thing. Pray that I will have the wisdom not to waste all of this." And Wiersbe observed that she knew the meaning of James 1:5. Not to waste all of this. Because every trial, God has a purpose to every trial in the life of a believer. And the search for wisdom is man's supreme search. And for those of us who know the Lord and love the Lord, He provides that wisdom. And Proverbs chapter 3, 5 to 7 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding." And what a great statement. When you are going through a trial, when you are going through difficulty, don't lean on your own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. Be not wise in your own eyes. Don't look to yourself for answers. Ask God for divine wisdom. It also helps to understand the meaning of the Old Testament word for wisdom, and we will see that the word carries the idea of skill, insight, intelligence. In Exodus chapter 28, it includes the skill of the workers who made garments for the high priest and were able to work with metal, stone, and wood. In Isaiah chapter 10, It extends to those who were also able to execute a battle plan. In Deuteronomy 34, we see wisdom is for those who lead in government. In 2 Samuel, we see that wisdom is intelligently assess a difficult situation and persuade those to take necessary action in 2 Samuel chapter 20, in Psalm 37, that wisdom refers to those who speak prudently. In Psalm 90, verse 12, that wisdom refers to those who use their time carefully. In Proverbs, the fool in Proverbs is not the man who is mentally deficient, but rather the man who is morally deficient. He ignores God's commandments and lives according to human wisdom. And the wise man lives in obedience to God. Thus he skillfully puts together a life that is beautiful from God's perspective. So in other words, by wisdom, James is talking about the skill that enables us to live obediently before God in the midst of trials. That's what he wants to show us. And the result will be a truly beautiful life that glorifies God. So you see the skill, the insight, the intelligence that will help us to obey God in the midst of our trials. And therefore, when we pray, when we go through a trial, when we pray, we ask God to give us the skill, the insight, the intelligence to face this particular trial that we are going through. And thank God we have a generous and gracious God who desires to lavish on us those things which we prayed for. And second, how to obtain wisdom from God. And you must see your need for wisdom to drive you to God to supply the need. Let me tell you, by nature, we are all sufficient know-it-alls. You see, and when we go through trial, we think that we can't help ourselves. But trials cause us to call on God for what you do not have, and so desperately desire. So when you go through the trials of life, and whatever they might be, it's the intention of God that you recognize the bankruptcy of human wisdom. And the answer that you might get from other people. You know, and you think about Job, who tried to get answers from everybody around him, and everybody gave him the wrong answer. Now, have you noticed when sometimes when we go to trial, we tend to contact, to call everyone to tell, you know, about the trial that we are going through. But we ignored the wisdom from God. Before we even go to prayers, like to ask God what we should do, we contact someone. It's not wrong to contact someone to tell them and to, you know, talk to your trial. But what James is saying, ask God for wisdom first. And let's look at Job's example. You see, Job, he went to see all his friends. But you will see what he said in Job chapter 28. Let's go for in Job 28 verse 12 for a moment. Job chapter 28 verse 12. We read, "But where can wisdom be found? Where does understanding dwell? Man doesn't know its price, and neither is it found in the land of the living. It's not available. It isn't for sale, and it doesn't have a price. The deep says, it's not in me. The sea says, it's not with me." In verse 15, "It cannot be bought with the finest gold. No, its price be weighed out in silver." Verse 20. "Where then does wisdom come from?" Job is asking. "Where does understanding dwell?" In verse 21. "It is hidden from the eyes of every living thing, concealed even from the birds in the sky. Destruction and death say only a rumor of it has reached our ears." Verse 23. Very interesting. God understands the way to it, and he alone knows where it dwells. "For he views the ends of the earth and sees everything under the heavens." So, and the right answer is always available at the end of God. True wisdom, the supernatural wisdom needed to understand the trials of life, is not available in the world around us. If you want wisdom, who do you go to? You go to God. He's the provider of true wisdom. And to come to God, we must humble ourselves and admit that we do not know what we need to know in order to live joyfully in the face of trials. In fact, God sends trials to humble us from our pride so that we can look to Him. Remember the proud Laodicean church thought that they were rich and had no need for wisdom, but God's views was they were wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. So a prerequisite to obtaining wisdom from God is to recognize our lack of wisdom. We are all lack of wisdom. And to obtain wisdom to endure trials joyfully, and the second point is, we must know the provider of true wisdom. And James gives us four ways in this text, so we must know God in order to obtain his wisdom. First, know that he is the source of true wisdom. We can always go to him because he's the source of true wisdom. And to ask God for wisdom implies that to say that he can deliver. And the Bible plainly states, for the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. And it warns, there is no wisdom and no understanding and no counsel against the Lord. In Proverbs chapter 21. In other words, worldly wisdom contradicts or goes against God. If you have a wisdom like from the Lord, from the world, you will always see that worldly wisdom contradicts God's wisdom. Because only God's wisdom stands. And what more could we want than the divine insight to understand and respond properly to every trial of life? So we need God's wisdom. Now, what kind of wisdom are we talking about? So we will say, we have different wisdom. We are not talking about philosophical speculation. We are talking about doing the right thing when you are in the midst of trials. We are talking about understanding what's happening with the mind of God. We can know his mind. We can know what he wants from us. And we are talking about what James discusses and in more detail in chapter 3, verse 17. The wisdom that is from above, that is pure and peaceable. This is what we are talking about. And this is right conduct in all of life's matters. That's what we are talking about. So when we pray, we are asking for an understanding that will allow us to be joyful and submissive. We are asking for what is the right thing to do. It will be my great prayer that in the midst of troubles, in the midst of trials that people seem to have, that they would learn that trouble is intended to drive them not to men, but to God. And to find in our loving Father, the only source of true wisdom, the path of a right response. We probably know that philosophy comes from two Greek words, the love of wisdom. And worldly philosophers are not so much in love with wisdom as they are with their own wisdom. They are not so much interested in how to live wisely before God, whose existence they question or deny, but rather in showing how wise they are in being able to win arguments. In writing to those who took pride in the great Greek philosophers, and Paul, he contrasted the so-called philosophers, the so-called wisdom of this world, with God's wisdom as seen in the cross of Christ. In 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18 to 30, he sarcastically asked, "Where is the wise man? Where is the scribe? where's the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through his wisdom did not come to know God, God was well pleased to the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. So the point is, if you have not come as sinner to the cross of Christ to obtain God's mercy through faith, you do not know God, and thus you cannot obtain the wisdom that comes only to him. Only God has the true wisdom. But how God does impart the wisdom that we need? First, and we know God, we need to know that God reveals his wisdom by his Spirit through his word. God's wisdom doesn't come as a sudden revelation or impression of feelings that hits out of nowhere. So somebody has a feeling, he said, oh, you know what, I got that from God, and you need to take that path. And you won't find it in the Reader's Digest or Life magazine unless they accidentally, say something that coincides with God's word. But God's wisdom comes directly from God and is revealed in his word. And especially centers in the knowledge of Christ, the person of Jesus Christ. And Paul said, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And God reveals his wisdom by the Holy Spirit to those who are spiritual. And that wisdom has to do with knowing how to apply a biblical truth to a particular situation in life. Thus, if you are not spending consistent time learning God's word, you will not have the wisdom that you need when trials hit. So the time to seek wisdom from God is before the calamity hits. And second, how does God impart that wisdom that we need? We must know that God reveals his wisdom by his Spirit through his word to those whose hearts are fully his. James goes on to say that we must ask God for wisdom in faith. Any doubting in verse 6. Say, when you ask, you must believe and not doubt. And the one who doubts is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. And the Greek word for this is double-souled man. It refers to a man whose heart is divided between allegiance to God and the attraction of the world. Double-minded. The word like disputus, D, and psuchos, soul, two souls. In a two soul or two minds. A soul is divided between God and the world, and trusting and not trusting, believing and not believing, a friend of the Lord and a friend of the world. John Bunyan, in the classic Pilgrim's Progress, called him Mr. Facing Both Ways. So he's out of balance. He's looking for answers worldly answers and godly answers. In other words, he's not sure that he wants to know God's wisdom because he isn't fully committed to submitting to it. And it would be nice to know God's wisdom for his situation, but before he commits to obey it, he needs to find out if he likes it. In other words, he's shopping for answers that fit what he wants. If God's wisdom sounds good, he will follow it. But if worldly wisdom sounds better, he will follow that. So he doesn't have any conviction James says that such a person will not receive anything from the Lord. In verse 5, he says that God gives to all you need to define. Let me define all by the context. You know, when James is saying to all, it's very interesting to notice that God doesn't give wisdom to everyone in the world. But he gives wisdom to people who were his. Believers in Christ who ask in faith. But James emphasizes that the manner in which God gives is generous. You know, he gives is generously and without reproach. Another word, there's another word here. Generously has the nuance of simply without reproach, without mental reservation. He gives because he delights to give to his children. This is exactly what James means. He gives because he wants to give us. Without reproach. That means he does not say, what? You know, you again. You come again. And I just gave you what you wanted. You're back again, bugging me again. No. Our loving God is not saying that. He never makes us feel cheap or irresponsible for asking again and again. Rather, he invites you to ask for all the wisdom you need. Let me tell you, our God is not playing games about your unworthiness. He's not reminding us about how undeserving we are. He's a good God, and he's giving, and he just keeps giving. He lavishes, and I love that word when Paul says, he lavishes on us the blessings. And now the word, you know, we can say generously, sincerely, or simply. It's a marvelous word. It means unconditionally. It means without bargaining. Our God doesn't bargain with us. Freely he gives us. It reminds us of Matthew chapter 7, and particularly verses 7 to 11. And Jesus said, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock the door. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be opened. You know, some fathers are selfish. Their standard answer is no. And if they reluctantly give you what you ask, they never let you forget it. And you have to budget your request carefully, because if you get a yes on something, it will be long, long time before you get another yes. Our God, our Heavenly Father, is not at all like that. He's a very generous, giving Father, both with his money and with his time. But if your dad was like that, was that time, you need to be careful to not view God in the same way. Because we have the tendency of take our earthly dad and then transpose it to our loving God, God, Father of our God in heaven. God is ready and willing to lavish his wisdom on his children who ask for it. So when we go through trial, when we go through difficulty, go to God in prayer. He doesn't lay any conditions. He gives freely and generously the wisdom we need to understand and to respond properly to our trials. In Proverbs chapter 2, verses 3 and 5, and we read, if we cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. You see, God has it available and God wants to give it to the seeking heart. But there is a sense in which he holds it back until you come and ask for it, demonstrating your love, your trust, and your dependence on him. And you see in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, I know, for I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. And verse 12, then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. So to obtain wisdom from God, to endure trials joyfully, the first thing is to recognize that you have a need for it. Then know your God, know who is the provider of this true wisdom. Know that he is the source of all wisdom. He reveals that wisdom chiefly in his word through his spirit to those whose hearts are ready and ready to obey him. He gives generously and without reproach to all who ask. That leads to the means of obtaining wisdom from God. And we'll see the last point. To obtain wisdom from God when we go through trials, we need to ask in faith to meet that need. James is telling us, ask. Verse 5, it's a command. Let me tell you, if you read it in verse 5, in the Greek, in the original Greek, it's a command. It's not optional. It's not a suggestion. It's mandatory. It's a command. And that is as much a command to prayer as praying without ceasing and to pray. And James is saying, you have to ask. Trials are intended to drive us in dependency on God, to him. So to make us realize we have no human resources, we are left only with an invisible means of support, and only God when we go through trials. Verse 5 again, we ask more, it implies that we ask more than once to obtain what we need. And let me say, there is no magic formula to obtain that. You know, there is no special incantation that you need to mumble when sprinkle holy water on a consecrated altar. There is nothing like that. And James doesn't give us any formula. James is saying, let him ask for it. He's not saying let him work or let him earn or buy that wisdom from God, or bargain that wisdom for God. So let him ask for it. It's not for sale. It's a gift. Just ask. And ask God. Let me remind you, every believer is a priest who can approach God. You don't need to go through a priest or to a pastor or someone that, you know, you will depend on him. And I'm not saying that it's wrong to go to a spiritually mature counselor who can help you, who can direct you to God's word for wisdom. But you don't need to approach God through any human intermediary. If you know Christ, you can ask God directly. Because you know what will happen? You will tend to depend on that person to nurture you, to give you food, to give you food, spiritual food. And you won't be able to prepare your own food, your own spiritual food. And that's why James is saying, ask God directly. You have a bold access to go to ask God directly. And the Bible never tells us to go to Virgin Mary to pray and to pray to understand, to ask for wisdom. It never tells us to look within ourselves and decide what to do based on subjective feelings. And Peter tells us that God's divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. For by this He has granted to us His precious and magnificent promises. In Ephesians, Paul assures us that in Christ we have boldness and confident access through faith in Him. So when you need wisdom to endure trials in a manner pleasing to God, go directly to God in prayer. Through the mediation of Jesus Christ, ask Him to direct you to the wisdom in His Word that you need. He promises to give it generously. And some Christians make the mistake of saying, I'm not worthy for God to grant my request. Have sinned too many times. Have failed Him so often. So I cannot go to Him and ask for wisdom. But that's an excuse for disobedience and unbelief. Every Christian has sinned. Every Christian has failed. Every Christian is unworthy. And we do not come to God based on our worthiness. We come to God on the merit of Jesus Christ and His shed blood on the cross. Since God commands us to ask God, to ask Him for wisdom, we are disobedient and unbelieving if we do not do that. And faith is essential in approaching God. And, you know, in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says, without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who seek Him. It would be silly to ask something of a being who you're not sure existed. If he did exist, you are not sure if He can care for you, if He cared about your request, or if he had the power to grant it. So to ask from God, you must believe that He exists, that He personally cares for you, and He is able to give you the wisdom that you need to endure trials with His joy. And if you doubt God's existence or His ability to give you wisdom for your need, James says that you are like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. The surf has no inner power or principle to direct itself. It is totally at the will of the wind, and it's completely unstable and chaotic, and it can be a destructive force as it batters a boat or drives it against the rocks. And that's a picture of the person who lacks faith in God. So in your doubting whether God can help, the word is you're disputing, or maybe the word could also mean, it's the Greek word diakonome, has the idea of wavering. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. And that word means that to doubt, to dispute, or to debate. So what he's saying is there are some people who just doubt that God can give them an answer. There are other people who just want to argue with God about why He did what He did. So their prayers are nothing but a fight. But you are not to doubt the available supply of God. You are not to doubt the available power of God. You are not to doubt the purpose of the will of God. In Matthew, remember Matthew chapter 21, Jesus answered and said to them, Verily I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if you say to this mountain, Be thou removed and be cast in the sea, it shall be done. And all things, and whatever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive it. And there Jesus essentially says the same thing, qualified faith moves the muscles of omnipotence. Now, it's not a blank check, so we're going to ask God whatever you want, but you're not going to receive what you ask to consume on your lust. You're not going to receive what you ask unless it is in the will of God, unless it brings glory to God, as John 14 verses 13 and 14 say. So, and what he's saying here, just to conclude with that, if you have faith that starts small but perseveres and grows large, you're going to see great movements of God in response to your prayer. If you can start small and pray, persevere, persistent, every increasing trust in God, lined up with God's will, is powerful and brings the wisdom needed for every trial. And what a promise. And whatever the trial, if you are to have a believing heart, believing that God allowed it for his purpose and it's right, believing that he will give you the wisdom to endure and be better than ever you could have been if you had not endured that trial. If we had to summarize verses 5 through 8, we would say, if you go through a trial, the way to endure that trial is to receive from God his divine wisdom. And to go to God and have the confidence that he gives freely and never debates, never argues, never holds back anything, but gives exactly what you need to endure that trial. But the condition is that your faith must be real. And that it be unwavering in faith, not like the troubled sea. Because if you have vacillating faith that trusts and doesn't trust, believe and not believe, then you are caught in the middle and you will not receive anything. In fact, such double-mindedness will make you unstable in every area of life. You need to have some convictions, because true stability in life comes to those who trust God in the middle of their trial, in the midst of their trials. So a believing heart that genuinely believes is essential in persevering. Joni, probably you know Joni, and she's paralyzed from the neck down in a diving accident when she was 17. She wrote this about her suffering, and I will read it. She said, God engineered the circumstances, used them to prove himself as well as my loyalty. Not everyone had this privilege. I felt there were only a few people God cared for in such a special way that he would trust them with this kind of experience. This understanding left me relaxed and comfortable as I relied on his love, exercising newly learned trust. I saw that my injury was not a tragedy, but a gift God was using to help me conform to the image of Christ, something that would mean my ultimate satisfaction, happiness, even joy. That is God's wisdom on how to endure a major trial with joy. And she did not get that wisdom from the world. She did not make it up herself. It comes from God through his word. If you need God's wisdom for how to endure any major or minor trial with joy, ask him in faith, and he will give it to you. And next week, we'll look at verses 9 and 12, how to continue to persevere in the midst of our trials. Let's bow in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you. Thank you because you are true wisdom. Thank you we can always go to you to ask you wisdom when we go through our trials. And we pray that you will open our ears, and when you talk to us, when you give us that wisdom, that we can use it in a very practical way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.